podcast on this Monday evening. With me tonight, as always, we have Peter Ray Allison.
Good evening, everyone.
Sounding a lot better today, Pete.
Thank you very much.
And our special guest this eve, Victor Gastly.
Hello.
Hello. What a mighty tash you have. I am jealous. I would love to have a mustache that could grow like such.
I mean, you got a pretty good one. They're free.
Well, the thing is, my problem with facial hair is, like, I've always kind of wanted a pirate beard, but I can't do that. So I get the cavalier I can do quite well. I don't shave. But the thing is, I can't seem to get that sort of, you know, it long enough in the whiskers to get it sort of curling up there.
Just leave it for 2 months and it will come. Just 2 months and then bit of wax and you're fine. You just have to be patient. Just two 2 months to get that and then you're good.
I'm not sure if a missus will be too happy about that, but I might get the world. Right. Okay. So, Victor, or is that your name? Tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What's your thing?
So I am Victor Gastly. I am in a band with four members called Victor and the Bully. We've been going about 10 years now. We are a kind of a goth steampunk just weird band. So I basically dress up as the devil and I've got some huge horns. And we, despite our image, we have quite a fun vibe to us. People always think we're going to be some like screamy heavy metal band, but some of our songs are like electro swing. We've got like one of our songs sounds like a mariachi song.
All right, okay.
And we just we just have so much fun. And we've been very lucky over the years to have such a great following, mainly in the steampunk community, but like we're looking to expand out of that just a little bit to so sci-fi weekend was like a really cool one for us to go to for our first time, and so we've been very lucky to go around to the USA. This week we're playing in the Netherlands.
Wow.
It's all systems go, and I get to play in a band with my best friends.
Now, I saw you at Sci-Fi Weekend. It was the first time I'd ever seen you, and it has to be said that for me was the standout set of the weekend, because I just did not know what to expect, and you played a absolutely storming set. It was great. It really, really a blast of life and fun and energy. I just could not work out what genre your band were. I mean, it's like, it seems like the pirate metal steampunk mariachi.
Yeah,
is so the best I could come up with.
If people ask what genre we are, we just reply yes.
Okay.
Because our view is, if you want to write a song, write that song. If you want to write a mariachi song, write a mariachi song. If you, you know, for us, we're very lucky that we haven't pigeonholed ourselves in one genre. We've got, we have a weird lineup. It's me singing and saxophone, and then we've got three guitarists.
Oh, wow. Iron Maiden, eat your heart out.
Yeah. So a lot of the other stuff all comes through like backing tracks that we write and produce ourselves. So we've got like trumpets and violins and drums and everything really sort of coming out with the backing. But then, we've got three guitarists behind that. And then, if I can get the saxophone out for a few songs, I try that. But we just, you know, we're very lucky to be able to just write whatever song we want, but it still sounds like us. You know, I'm sure if we decided to write a UK garage song, everyone would still kind of go, all right, yeah, it's still Victor and the Bully.
Yeah, it's good, because like I say I'm in a band, we haven't played in ages, but we're still technically a band, and we tried our best not, like, we were in the metal, the sort of melodic metal sort of thing, so it was screamy but it was singy as well, but we tried to just basically, when we wrote stuff, we wrote what we wanted to write, instead of kind of going, well, this is a banger and this is what all the metalcore bands are playing right now and stuff.
Yeah,
so now that did have, obviously it's worked for you guys, it didn't work so much for us, because we would play, we'd write 7, 8, 10 minute long songs with all these sort of, like, you know,
yeah,
things going on, and it didn't sort of work for us. But how does that work for you?
I mean, we do a lot of research about what works in music, you know, and things like most people don't have the mental capacity to listen to past 4 minutes of a song.
Yeah.
And so it's a tough one. I think the biggest thing is don't go into a band saying, I want to sound like X band.
Mm-hmm.
Just try and, you know, but I'm a strong believer in a gimmick. You know, Victor and the Bully has worked so well because we have this gimmick on stage with the big horns and the devil atmosphere. So people are immersed in that environment. They're not watching just a band. They're suddenly now at more of a show instead of just a band, you know. You know, theatrics are a big thing. You know, one of the things we like doing, well, I couldn't do it at Sci-Fi Weekend, but normally we attach a firework to one of the ends of the guitars.
I have to say, like, gimmick stuff does work. Did you ever hear of a band called Send More Paramedics?
Oh, I love them.
So like a zombie core, and I love that. Like, he'd come in and he'd come from the back of this, like from the back of the room, and he'd throw a severed head onto the stage, and the other songs were sort of zombie related and stuff. But it was quite, it was such a good show. And it's strange, like my mates, but like, I haven't been playing for ages, called Uncle Rotter, and they sort of dress up in like different masks and things like that, and it was all a bit sort of OTT, but I had to admit, as much as I didn't love, you know, the music was good, it wasn't my sort of music, but the show just made up for why, you know, it's like, even if it was the fact I didn't like that music, or it's not I didn't like the music, I it wasn't my thing, it still enjoyed it because the show was just amazing. It was just such a good show.
I mean, I recently got to see Sleep Token, because, I mean, you know, they're huge now, and I saw them at Hammersmith, so it was still a big venue, but not like what they're playing now. And my mate had a spare ticket, and he was like, do you want to come? I was like, yeah, I don't really know them. And when I saw them, I was like, wow, this is like really cool band, like their theatrics and that sort of stuff. And I went home to listen to them. I was like, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's true, though. You get that. It's like, I went to see, what was it? I remember watching Dillinger Escape Plan. And Dillinger Escape Plan are if anybody, you know, if you've not heard of them, they're tech metal. So it's all very, the music is technically amazing. Like, if you're into your music, you're like, wow, that's really impressive, but it's hard to listen to. So you have to be in a certain place to listen to it. And I was like, my mates like wanted to watch it. It was like Reading Festival many moons ago. Like, we're talking early 2000s. I was like, all right, I'll give them a whirl. Like, I don't mind a couple of their songs, but it's not stuff that I can sort of, doesn't do anything to me when I'm listening to it in the background. So I was like, I'll give it a whirl. But it was hilarious, man. The guy took a shit on stage and then went, and he turned around and he went, there's going to be a lot of this today. And he and he took a shit on stage and he threw it into the crowd. And somebody threw it back at him and he just got it and he smothered all over himself. And I was like, all right, that was kind of weird, but kind of entertaining. And I remember it really vividly as well.
Yeah. What's weird is that Madam Misfit's done that before.
I'm going to get comments from Madam Misfit.
We like winding each other up.
But I think
I'm hoping she's watching it and all that.
But I think you're right in that having a hook, having that thing that isn't just the music really, really helps. And you can see
all about the hook.
Yeah, all about that hook. Like, you can have amazing music and people be really into it, but if you've got that additional hook that sort of pushes you above the rest, like, we, you know, for us, we were just a sort of, well, I wouldn't say generic, but we were just sort of a melodic metal band and stuff, and there wasn't anything really, bar the fact we had two singers that really didn't do sort of much from us from anybody else. But having something like you guys do, like my friend's band does, obviously, like other bands do, sort of makes you sort of stand out a bit, I guess.
I mean, what's quite funny with us is that people don't really know where to put us. So, like, we'd play a festival, and then like we played like big public festivals, you know, like, you know, your local city summer festival thing. And, like, you know, before us has been like a Motown band, and then it's us, and then, you know, but everyone still has a good time. And then when we finish doing the Hokey Cokey, everyone's like, what?
Yeah, I must admit, the Hokey Cokey took me by surprise. I mean, like, I've been there at Madame Misfits Conga, yeah. And now we've got the Victor and the Bully Hokey Cokey, which I was not expecting. So hats off to you, sir.
Thanks.
Yeah, and it was like, this is great, this is fun, but that's exactly what the crowd wanted.
The weirdest thing we've done with the Hokey Cokey was we were very lucky to play a gig in Lithuania.
Wow, okay, yeah.
And it was like, it was this Lithuania were having like an arts project, and like the actual country of Lithuania, so around like Knaus. And each district of Knaus had their own art exhibition that they had to do, or like they could put on an event or blah blah blah. And one of the districts we got asked to was, their focus was steampunk, and they just searched for steampunk bands in like Europe and that. And then we got a message and was like, hey, do you want to play in Lithuania? And we're like,
yeah, we do.
Okay. Okay. And so yeah, we went across, and absolutely beautiful country. And we did our whole set, and they were like, we did like every song we possibly could have thought of that we have learned. And they were like, one more song. And we're like, me and my Joe, my other guitarist, he was looking at each other. We're like, I don't think unless we play another song we've already played today. And we were like, we could do the Hokey Cokey. And the reason we wasn't doing it is because I don't think people in Lithuania know the Hokey Cokey. And we're like, we're just going to have to try it. And so Joe, like, he had a wireless kit. So we just went down in the audience and got everyone in this, like, and just tried to get these people to do the Hokey Cokey. But the floor, despite it being summer, the floor was completely sodden wet. And that's because later on in the day, they were going to have this huge fire act, like, and I mean, flamethrowers and everything. So that's why So there's just Joe in the audience dancing with these steampunks in just this mud, trying to do this Hokey Cokey. And it was like, oh, God. They tried. They tried their best.
Right. Where does the name Victor and the Bully come from? Because I understand that Victor is not your real name.
No, Victor's my middle name after my granddad. So my granddad was my absolute hero. And yeah, Victor Rogers, he was just, and he passed away at 74, and he was a musician as well, and he was still playing music up until the day he died. So he was just my absolute hero. And so when back 10 years ago, I was like, I just thought Victor, like, you know, as a memory from the granddad, and I just wanted something that works. I was trying like Victor and the Vagabond, Victor and the something, Victor and the, because originally we were a duo, old guitarist, and we started off just to do like little cabaret acts and just like almost be like a support act for bands and maybe just try and do like the London cabaret scene. And then we got given an opportunity to do this Morecambe festival, and then the steampunk scene went under thing. But yeah, it's the whole Victor thing's mainly just after my granddad.
Oh, okay.
We do have one song, it's on our Spotify called Dr. Jazz. And my granddad my dad was trying to learn to play the sousaphone, and my granddad played guitar and banjo. And so he recorded himself just on a tape player, playing some songs so that my dad can play along. And, you know, my granddad passed away, and I got hold of this tape. I managed to put it to digital, and then I remixed it into an electro swing song.
Wow.
And with my granddad singing in it. So I've managed to do a song with my granddad in the track, as it were.
It's amazing.
But what was sweet is that my dad, I basically had a spare train ticket to a gig we were playing in Whitby. And I said, Dad, do you want to come along? Like, and he was like, he'd never been to a steampunk event. And he was like, yeah, well, sure, why not? And but I didn't tell him we were going to play Dr. Jazz. And it was in this gorgeous theatre. Absolutely. It was sold out, gorgeous theatre. My dad's sitting in the front row, and we started playing Dr. Jazz, and my dad just burst out crying in the front because I'm just like there playing. You can hear my granddad and me singing. It was wonderful. Yeah,
that's amazing, man. That's really
that cool. is a memory to treasure.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And then we got really drunk.
how else could you follow that up?
I don't think my dad ever watched me. I don't think my parents ever came. My mum, because we were sort of heavy music, and like it was just. I remember my mum sort of like she had all the CDs when CDs were a thing in her car, and they were in the CD player, but she wouldn't listen. She just had them there so she could you know she could sort of show support that way. And I think now and again there was like obviously because we had ones where we're just sort of like instrumental or. Just melodic, and she go, "Oh, I like the non-Metallica type ones." And I'm like, "Right, okay."
It's what it is, isn't it? With your parents.
last month was your first time at Sci-Fi Week, and I mean, as like you know, a newcomer to the event, how did you find it? What was your reaction?
It reminded me very much of the US events, the whole thing is just in one place. Everyone's got their like the US like steampunk event, the whole thing is in one building. Everyone's got their hotel room. Everyone in the morning comes to have breakfast, and then everyone's drinking, panels, partying, dancing, and then everyone goes back, and then after parties happen and all this sort of stuff. So it was just it reminded me very much like that. But of course, we in the UK we don't have hotels of that size, so it was absolutely wonderful weekend. I wish we could have stayed longer. Unfortunately, my guitarist had work on Sunday, so we had to leave on Saturday morning. So yeah, we only got to experience Friday, but I really hope I hope we can come back next year.
Have you been invited back yet, or is this an ongoing negotiation?
No, nothing yet. I mean, it's still a year away, so I don't know what's planned. I mean, hopefully we would absolutely love to, and it was just nice to play to new audiences as well, and to get people under the Victor and the Bully Sinners that we have.
There's a lot of interaction between the steampunk and sci-fi community. There's a lot of crossover there. Yeah. So if you like, Victor and the Bully can just seem to go down quite well.
We can be quite, despite our image, we are a bit of a chameleon band. And I think people also like that, you know. I think people like to see, especially at like more muggle events, you know. Like we played at a food festival once, and we went down a storm. it was really weird. But yeah, it was just Sci-Fi Weekend was brilliant. And what I could really tell was that everyone goes there every year, and it's just a real good click. A lot of people probably don't see each other until that time every year, and it just really showed like it was just a cool environment. I've got to say the sound engineers were spectacular. Probably one of the best in the 10 years I've been doing Victor and the Bully, and all the other years I've done other bands, they were probably the best sound engineer, purely because we had our sound check done in about 8 minutes. He was literally like, "How's that?" And we're like, "Yeah, sounds good." And he was like, "Cool, you're done." And I'm like, "Okay." And it was just like, but then it sounded on stage, it sounded amazing. I mean, it probably sounded good out the front. And it's a brilliant sound engineer. So.
That
means a lot.
Yeah, well, that's true. We've had our fair share of bad sound engineers and stuff. The problem is getting that sort of, they're listening to you from the front and you're listening to yourself from the. And if you haven't got good monitors and stuff, then you're like, it might sound all right up front, but you're not hearing anything. And you're just like, I can't fucking play because I can't hear the drums or I can't hear.
I've got a reputation for being a bit of a diva when it comes to sound as well.
Oh, there's a tail coming on here.
Yeah, no, I just all I want is a decent PA system. And I think if you're going to put on an event and the main focus of an event, not necessarily sci-fi because there's loads of stuff, but like if you are going to put on an event where the main thing is music, hire a really good PA system. Because if you hire a good, I said it's always better to hire a good loud PA system and turn it down than a, you know, we turned up to some gigs and it's like a karaoke machine and we're like, we can't use that.
Yeah. Have you ever refused to play because of a crap sound system?
Nearly.
Oh.
There was one where I nearly walked out. Right. And basically they wanted us to do a 45-minute set. Then we have like a half-hour break and then another 45 minutes. And the first 45 minutes, I don't think I actually played a song because the sound was so bad and I had to stop the songs as I started. I was like, I had to stop it. It was just embarrassing. And that's only happened once. And my other half, she was like, you are never playing that again. Like she was like, she was like, you're never doing that again. I was like, yeah, fair enough.
is your half in the band or is she your number one fan?
Oh, she's number one fan. Yeah, definitely. She's a musician's widow. So on April 30th, I'm getting married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then, so that's on a Tuesday. So the weekend before I get married, I'm at Whitby Goth Festival.
Very nice.
And then married on the Tuesday. And then Thursday, I'm flying to New Jersey for a gig. So I would have been married one day before I'm like, love you, bye.
Oh, Whitby, we had Dicker Stoker.
Dicker Stoker.
On last week. Obviously, the great-grandson of...
Nephew,
great-grandnephew of Bram Stoker.
Oh, yeah, cool.
If you're in Whitby.
So, and actually one thing as well is, I mean, where does your honeymoon fit into all this?
I'm going to Vegas in June.
Vegas. Oof, have you ever been?
Like 10 years ago when I was in my 20s, didn't have much money, so I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Don't have much money, but...
It's carnage, man. It doesn't matter how much money you've got when you go to Vegas. It gets spent very easily.
Focusing mainly on food, I think, is the...
They have some really good all-you-can-eat buffets and things like there, but we did San Diego Comic-Con. I think we did 5 days, 4 or 5 days in San Diego for Comic-Con, which was another world as well. It just sort of kind of tainted everything else. The whole event was quality.
I don't know.
It was more to do with the things going on outside, actually. We went into the convention hall like twice, I think. The rest was just everything that was going on around it. But what
draws you to Vegas for it?
Oh, well, it's just originally we wanted to go touring and do like Graceland, Nashville, Memphis, and all that.
You're getting married by Elvis. They're not, or Kiss.
No, we're not getting married in Vegas. We're just honeymoon. We just wanted a music thing, but hey, why not? Vegas is
absolutely,
you know, cool, some place to go, you know. So, she's a musician's widow.
Kiss golf's good in Vegas. We went there. If you want to have a laugh, it's basically Kiss mini golf. It's good. We went and they play rock music. They play Kiss songs. Right? So I was doing air guitar with my my golf club when we were doing it, and some guy came up to me and gave me this gold sort of like guitar chain that I could wear for, you know, rocking out to the music. And then at the very end, because I came last, they gave me a free game of Kiss golf because I was so bad. He says, you can come back again, you need to practice. And I was like, right, fair enough.
I really want to go. Have you seen the Heart Attack Grill?
Oh no, I haven't, mate. No.
Oh, so it's in like Fremont, you know, like the older Vegas. And so they weigh you before you go in, and if you're over a certain weight, you get a free burger. You go in and they put you in a hospital gown. All their burgers are cooked in lard.
Right.
And it's so greasy. If you order a milkshake, it comes with a stick of butter in it. Their red wine comes in with an IV, in like an IV bag.
Right.
That you pour, and like all the waitresses are dressed up as like nurses. But if you don't finish your meal, you get put on a thing. You get spanked.
All right. Okay. Vegas. It's a fucking crazy place.
Yeah.
Man.
Check out the Heart Attack Grill.
How many make a point of not finishing their meals?
Well, yeah, that's the point. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll be with my other half, so I'll be shoveling it in.
Oh, yeah, I think there's like, I've got friends who've been to Vegas, and there's like, I went with a group of fellas, you know, so it was a group of fellas. Whereas you had friends who've gone with their missus, and I said, as much as I'm sure they enjoyed themselves, but I think the experiences were definitely different.
Yeah.
Would it be going to Area 51, or are you staying just in Vegas?
No, just in Vegas. Yeah. But yeah, one of my friends went for a stag do, 30 people Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah, and there are stories.
Yeah, yeah. My brother, my brother's been like 4 or 5 times. I've only been once, and it was enough for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think we did 6 days in Vegas and still barely scratched the surface of it. Did the whole thing where we shot guns, did the whole sort of thing, you know, buffets, eating, doing gambling and stuff. And it's just like, man, it's crazy place, crazy place.
So what came first, Victor the Bully or your fiance?
Oh, Victor the Bully.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah, she knew what she was getting herself into.
No surprise. So she can't throw that at you then? It's like, band is here first.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, music's, what's great is that, I really am in a band with my best mate. So we originally started a band in 2007 called Billy Rebel.
Right.
And it was like a psychobilly, rockabilly band, and I was playing double bass. And it was just like 2007, like I was like 20, 21, a lot skinnier. But we had a thing, we all dressed up as zombies. So yeah, talking about sim or paramedics, we all dressed up as like zombies, and like we did our first ever gig in like March 2007, and then in June we won Battle of the Bands.
Wow.
At KMFM radio, and we're like, oh, we've actually got something here. And then everyone had to go to uni, so we all like had to write. But two of the members are in Victor and the Bully now. And like me and these two guys have been writing music since then. And like, in fact, I'm wearing a T-shirt that says "Every fight is a food fight for a cannibal" for Victor and the Bully. And that was an old Billy Rebel song that we just like, you know what? It was a good song. Let's just bring it across to Victor and the Bully. And so, you know, and then we've got Nancy, the female in our band who has to put up with the smelly boys, but we just honestly we don't stop laughing. This weekend just gone, we just did a new photo shoot, and we've also filmed a music video as well, so we're excited to release that and get that out as well. But yeah, it's just...
Is Victor and the Bully, is that your is the full-time career? Is that your thing? Is that what you do?
No. I wouldn't do it as a full-time job.
No?
No?
No, because then it's a job.
Fair point, yeah.
You know, if my mortgage was reliant on it, you know, then, you know, what's nice is that if I don't want to write a song, it doesn't matter. You know, I can write a song tomorrow. But if I knew that I had to like constantly get stuff out and worry about where money was coming in from, then I'd be stressing out the band and I wouldn't be enjoying it. I wouldn't be my character because I'd be stressed out, you know, and especially like some promoters don't like pay for a while and you have to chase them up.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes you have to upfront costs that you don't know when you're going to get back until you've paid for the gig and it's just
you get some pretty dodgy promoters, man. Like we didn't get paid loads and stuff, like we didn't care because we were like, you know, we're just happy to play. But when we did get paid, I remember turning up once because we used to have a female vocalist, and we got invited to this gig, and she left the band, and we got sort of our old singer came back again after he sort of pulled his finger out. So we got our old singer back, and another fell in. We had that one of my mates, so we had like two singers. So we rocked up, played the gig. She was asking about the sort of the old singer and stuff, and we're all like, she's not in the band anymore. She, you know, she's gone. And she's like, oh, okay. And she started being a bit weird with us, and we're like, okay, fair dues. Played the gig. Yeah, yeah. And then when we came to sort of ask for the money afterwards, she sort of went very quiet, went, oh, yeah, I'll sort that out for you, and then disappeared. Had to literally hunt her down in the city we were to try and get her, and then to say, like, look, it's not about the money for us, but you did promise us money. And like, yeah, she yeah. very begrudgingly gave us, she gave us like half of it, and we went, that's not what we agreed. And it yeah. you feel like a dick sort of choosing, you know, forcing it, but it's, you know, it's just like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these things I'm not going to lose sleep over, but I don't have to lose sleep over it because it's not my job.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah,
it's. Yeah. You know,
how do you balance the need to your day job and the need to the victim and the bully?
book it as holiday. it's so I work for a large insurance company.
Oh, right. You're not, I used to work for Aviva.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I'm Allianz.
Oh, yeah, Allianz. Okay, I've got friends who work for Allianz,
and I've been there 12 years.
Wow. Okay,
but. You know, that pays for the fun things, you know, that pays for my good times and life. And if I need to buy a saxophone, I can. I mean, most, yeah, then it just gets invested into the band, you know, and we just look after, our, you know, and we've all got our day jobs as well. So it all works out pretty well. And then we just have a band pot that pays for music videos and, you know,
I think that's the best way, especially like music. Music's a very sort of fickle sort of business as well, and especially if you're in niche music and stuff. You know, you can never be 100% sure where that next dollar's coming from or pound's coming from. And you know, if you've got that backup of, you don't have to worry about it. I think it makes the whole experience a lot better.
And I also think a lot of bands forget the biggest element. And that is having fun.
Yes, agreed.
And don't get me wrong, it's not fun playing to two people or just playing to the sound engineer. I get that.
I don't know.
But as long as you're having fun amongst each other,
yeah,
then that's the funniest thing. Like, you know, I remember doing a gig in my old band. We literally played to the sound engineer and decided to try and attempt lounge versions of all our songs. Just slowed down the soft lounge versions. Yeah. And we were like, bear in mind, we were a psychobilly band. So
we played, like, I remember playing, like, like you said, it's all about having fun with your bandmates and stuff. Like, I remember playing Wrexham, and it was literally us, the other band, and the girlfriends, and that was pretty much the entire crowd. But it was amazing. It was such a good night because nobody gave a shit, and it was just literally clear. Like, we did like some Up and Terror cover, and the other band came on, and the other singer, and we had like, we just sort of kind of got on to each other's sets and things and started doing like Human Pyramids, and even the drive back was hilarious and stuff, because the whole thing, we didn't care that nobody was there and stuff. It was just like the whole experience with you and your mates was something to sort of remember. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. One time we decided to just play in our pants. Just, why not? You know, sod it. No one's here. Yeah. We always find, so we don't really do London shows that often, purely because some of the promoters are dickheads.
Mm.
But also, we never know where to get put on a lineup, and also like when we get put onto these lineups, we're normally playing with like you know, bands that have got like 50 followers, and they're at that early stage where they're bringing their girlfriends and all this sort of stuff, which is great, but then it's one of those things of like, I really want to, like, you can tell they're a new band, like, you can tell they're quite young, and I really want to be like, look guys, get a banner, put a banner behind, like, I feel like I want to like just mentor them a bit and be like, guys, get a banner, like we used to put like flyers on the tables and stuff, like, or like just dotted around just so people knew who we are, just to get that name out there. Like putting it, it frustrates me the amount of bands that don't have a banner.
Yeah.
And you can get them. You can get one of them roller pull out banners for 30 quid.
Yeah. True.
And because people will also watch you and go, oh, they were really good. Don't know who they are.
Yeah, we used to give away free CDs. Like, we had a, like, because we, again, we weren't really that bothered about sort of making loads of money and stuff. So we used to give away CDs and things like that. We spent a lot of money on them as well, just to sort of get the name about. But yeah.
Do you think like there's an over reliance on the internet and social media and the kind of forgetting the physical side of things and the events and the flyers, the banners, and just being in person?
Well, I don't know. I think nowadays you've got artists who are absolutely massive and they've never played a gig in their life because they've just focused on TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean that, but that's the get, like, you know, I'm 37. I wasn't brought up in the TikTok era. So I don't really know. Don't get me wrong. We've got a TikTok account and we put stuff on it. But, you know, some of these artists now, music is constantly evolving and changing, and especially the promotion side of it. I mean, most people don't even have a CD player now.
No, exactly. So you don't have that tangible thing of selling CDs at a gig or anything.
Yeah. And the craziest thing now is that artists aren't even releasing albums because people don't have the attention span to listen to an album from track one to track 14. So most artists now are only releasing singles. And then a band may release an EP. So, and you just have to get out of that mindset of like releasing an album.
Because would you say that the whole idea of a concept album is now dead?
It's getting dead.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're Taylor Swift, you release something, you know. But I think just the general, I mean, I used to listen to an album from song one to 14 in my CD player, you know. Yeah. But most people just add like songs and add them to their own playlist.
Yeah, I'm old school like you. Like, I will listen to the full album. Like, I'll sort of, like, there are songs, you know, I'll have a mix sort of thing on Spotify or whatever. But if there's a band I like, I listen to the whole album and I'll listen to it over and over and over again.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, for our next set of releases, we're going to release three, like, 4 or 5 track EPs. Release things as singles as well, and try and release as many singles and music videos as we can. And then we're going to release an album that is effectively actually a physical album. Yeah. So like stream the EPs, but release the album with a combination of those songs plus extra songs.
Okay. Yeah.
So just because, I mean, in the steampunk scene, they love a CD.
Oh yeah,
And which is great. We're very lucky to have a scene that likes, even if it's never been in a CD player, they just like the keepsake of it, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing. I think, you know, kids these days won't sort of kind of appreciate like that tangible thing of having, like, I haven't listened to a CD in years, but like, you know, having that tangible thing, like,
I don't think I have a way to play them.
I bar my computer, I suppose, has like a CD drive still randomly, but you know, I like having that tangible thing. I have
a record play upstairs.
Yeah, still like the tangible thing.
But also, I mean, you're a very visual band, but CDs as well have a very visual element to it. There's the cover art.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's important for CD, and that's it's going by the wayside as well.
Our latest album, Embrace the Disgrace, I absolutely love the album artwork. We had a guy called Real Tidy Design who did it, and I wanted this like busy, like pub with all these monsters in this pub. And each of these monsters has got like a little tie in to like us. Like one day is like when the asylum always happens, like the biggest steampunk event. One of them says one nut, like bag of peanuts, because I had testicular cancer. So we've got one nut
right
in there, and so it's just got loads of things. So like, but that's more for us. Like, it's lovely that people like the artwork and stuff, but you know, it's yeah.
What are your views on AI? And there's two things, because obviously we're talking about the art, AI and art, mm-hmm. and AI and music. Now, we, my friend for our Dungeons and Dragons group sent a link called, a thing called Suna, where it basically, you type in a description and it writes a song for you, it sings it for you, has all the music based on your prompt. Now, it's not perfect, but it's enjoyable. Do you think that's a threat to music going forward?
So I'll do art first, and then I'll talk about music. I think with art, if it's used as a tool, not the final product, it can be beneficial. And it also depends on how it's being used. If it's being used in a professional manner, I'm a bit like, well, you're getting paid to
do nothing.
Do it. But then I've used it to do the background of a flyer I was making. But I think if it's used as a tool, not its final product, then I think it can be beneficial. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're going around saying that you did it when you didn't, then it's a problem.
I think you've got this sort of, because at the minute you can tell, I think AI art isn't, like, especially we've noticed when we do, like, I use it for display things when we're doing our D&D campaign and stuff. Like, you can't, it just can't do hands. Like, for unknown reasons, if you try to get it to do hands, they're all over the place. There's always like a sick finger, or there's a finger sort of lying on the table or something. It's just weird things. You can generally, it's good, but it does weird stuff. So you can generally tell.
Yeah.
With AI art,
but it's how it's used. Like, if we're going to release our next album, we're not going to use AI artwork. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay an artist to do it. We may look at AI as and to get ideas and be like, oh, that came
something
up with
like
a quirky, something like that, and then go to an artist and go, look, these are combinations of things we like. Could you do something with it? I think in regards to music, I think it's good for. If she was creating background music for a vlog video, fine. You know, it's the same. It's no different to really looking up YouTube and searching copyright free music. But I think with actual releasing songs and that sort of stuff, the biggest thing it's missing is heart and soul. And I don't think AI could capture that.
No.
I think the only time it may get used is more in like the rap era stuff, just because it's a lot of repetitive loops.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. When you've got sort of what we call like popcorn, you know, fast food music, where it's more to do with something you get easy listening and stuff. There's no real sort of thought behind it. Then I think it's going to be a lot easier for it to break in, and for people who have no real musical talent, just to be good at prompting and become. You know, famous musicians and stuff. It's just like jokingly, I sent like it was a stupid. I did a prompt for a song for my daughter and his daughter. I was just like, you know, it was about the 1,000-year friendship, and he went, "This is so bad. This is better than the stuff we wrote." It was just like, I know, man, but it's kind of scary. But it's like it was very. It wasn't like, at least the music we had, there was a lot, it was a bit more complicated, and there was more stuff going in, and there was more ups and downs stuff. Whereas I think the AI has to have a formula. And I think if you're into that sort of thing, fine, your music's just going to be mass produced as your food would probably be. But
But I mean, at the end of the day, there's always going to be a bigger fish or a smellier fish in the ocean. Mm. You know, all you can do. Is keep your own morals and keep your own self, because if other people want to just put a prompt in, release music and go, yeah, I did that. And fine. If you want to be proud of that, be proud of it.
I think that's been the difference with music is with art. You could probably do it. And at the moment in time, you're not going to pass it off as your own art because it just, there's no way you can tell AI art over real art. And there's no way of showing that that is sort of yours. Whereas with music, you can play live, and you know, you're actually physically playing an instrument. You're doing that thing. So even if the computer wrote the song, as long as you're playing it and you can justify that thing, you know, at least you're you can prove to people that you have some sort of, you know, talent, and it's not just you know somebody who's typing something in on a computer.
Yeah, but I also think we're a long way off before it being. I know you say that, man, but you think about this,
like, you know, what is it like?
I was at the generative AI tech conference in November last year, and they were really pushing it. I was like, this will be the next big thing. Now, and I was invited to be on a panel about the role of generative AI in the media, specifically like news journalism. And that's going to be like, do I use it? Well, yes, I do. I use it for Otter, like the voice transcription service. And that automatically translates interviews for me. But so they go, oh, but do you use it for the articles? Like, no, I would never do that.
Yeah.
Because AI is very bland. It's very generic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It loses the texture of individuality. And that is why I don't think every place an artist, it can mimic.
Have you seen when these artists who I say artists, musicians who are like a character? There's an anime girl one that's probably the biggest one.
South Korean.
But they've tried to do like other ones. Like that seems to be the only one that's actually got big and popular. And I think they've tried to do it with other characters, and it's awful. It's just embarrassing. But I think it, you know, that type of thing will appeal to kids because kids don't care.
Yeah, they don't really don't.
But as they get older, they may have more of a actually.
I don't know. I'm going to kind of push back on that one because like my daughter's 15, and she's really into K-pop. She loves K-pop.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, that's how my daughter's rebelling. I'm into goth, my wife's into glam punk. My daughter's into K-pop.
I have to say, it's a bit of a guilty pleasure. K-pop can be quite good.
But
I guess the way it's like, but she's like really into ethically created music. She really, to a point of standing against like the production companies and the music producers that are kind of pushing the artists and the musicians to kind of live in a particular way, present themselves in a particular way, strict diet. She's really against that. So, I mean, there is a strong movement of like amongst kids of like, no, this is wrong. That's not right.
Oh, yeah.
You get sorry, can you carry on?
I'll just say, you know, music's always changed, whether it's always been, you know, mods, punks, ska, goth, pop. It's always going to be everyone going, that's crap. What I like is crap, good. You know, I like this. I like the expression, don't yuck someone's yum. One of my favorite bands is Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
I quite like Justin Timberlake, to be fair.
And NSYNC. Like some of those songs, when they came out, I was like, this is crap. But as I got older, I'm like, this is actually...
Yeah, you get that. You're sort of like
a banger.
You're younger, and you're like, I was like, I had a thing against Iron Maiden when I was growing up for unknown reasons. And then as soon as I started getting older, it's like, yeah, I'm really into this. You just sort of have that thing.
You have one of the things where you're like, you know what? I don't need to pretend to be cool. If I want to like NSYNC, NSYNC.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, exactly. And I had this thing when I was growing up, like, as I was like the hardcore sort of straight edge scene and stuff. So every band had to be obscure. They had to be Belgian. They had to be, you know, the most obscure label. And you know, you didn't like sort of, as soon as a band became famous, I wasn't interested.
On your hands.
Yeah, it wasn't in all that crap. So I had to be, and then you just realize it's like, yeah, I just want to listen to what I like, and that's it. I don't care what people think. I'm gonna dance to, you know, Cry Me a River. And a dance floor. I don't care.
But then on the flip side, you've also got elitism in music as well, and which I hate. I would say with steampunk, the overall rule of steampunk is be splendid. Don't be elitist. You know, if someone turns up with just a plastic pair of goggles and but they're wearing a tracksuit, it doesn't matter as long as they're having a good time. But like where I used to go to a lot of rockabilly events and like, so, and my God, it was just exhausting. Just like,
yeah, like, we get that in a lot of the league. It's the same in the cosplay sort of thing, and people just want to go and enjoy themselves, and there's a lot of people just fucking judging other people and stuff. And it's the same like when it comes to music in general. It's like we always had a view when we play gigs of be good to people, be nice to people and stuff, but you got some bands who had a bit of sort of like not even fame for a local scene, but basically were known, and it did be assholes. And like you get, it's like, do you not know who we are? I was like, no, but it doesn't matter. It's just like, I'll be just like, you know, all kinds. Like, we've had loads of stories where people would just, I remember this one band, I can't even remember who they were called, but they were playing with Azrael, and we were in support, and we were told by the sound guy to put our amps on top of their amps, the heads in front of their, on top of their heads and stuff, so easy changeover. So it was, we were sharing cabs, put the amp ahead on. And the guy came over when I put it on, and he said, what are you doing? I was like, oh, the sound guy just said to stick it on top of your head, man, and I hope that's okay. So do you not know who we are? You know, we're, and I said, whatever band, I've obviously blocked it out, can be ours. We're playing with Azrael, we're doing this, you know, why, what, I was like, I'll tell you what you're doing, mate, you're being an asshole. He says, oh, I don't want to be an asshole about it. He said, well, you are being an asshole about it, man. We were told to do it by the, if it's a big issue, fine, I'll stick it down here, and I'll we can move it. But I was just like, you don't be that guy, man. Don't be that guy.
I mean, I used to turn up with a double bass to a gig, and you just see the sound engineer go, what the fuck?
We saw a Transylvanian double bassist in Matt and Fred's jazz bar in Manchester, and it was quality, so good. Like, I can't fault double bass, man. If you can play that shit properly, really good, really, really good.
Yeah, I miss it. I need to bring it back for Picture in the Bully.
Yeah, man, you should do. If you've got the saxophone, you bring out the double bass as well.
Well, the sax only started playing last year, so I wouldn't say I'm a saxophonist yet. I say I can play party. I can do a party trick pretty well.
All right. Okay.
I've practiced my, you know, my three songs, and I'm good at them.
Yeah.
But if someone just wanted me to jam along with them, I'd be like, nah.
No. Yeah. I think that's like me and guitar, man. Like, I can play songs, certain songs, generally my own, because I could never learn other people's. I always had to do my own thing. But if I was asked, somebody asked me to jam with them, I can't do that. I can just do my own thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them things. Like, I'm a big fan of Madness.
And, good call.
Yeah, and but if Madness approached me tomorrow and went, hi, in December, can you play trumpet for us? I'd go out and buy a trumpet, and by December, I'd be playing trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a goal.
Yeah,
you,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I get very sort of, not jealous, but envious of people who can be very sort of single-minded about their passion. Like, I love music, I love more nerdy stuff, but things, I've got too many hobbies, and it's very, because of ADHD, it's very easy for me to sort of I did music for a very long time, but then suddenly other things got in the way, and I just, you know, I haven't done it for ages. And it's like, you know, yourself, you've been doing it forever, and you know, you're still very focused on it, and you know, I'm very envious of that sort of that dedication to something you love.
I think it's the hardest thing is keeping it up, you know, because you're always going to have peaks and troughs with all of it. I mean, I would say last year was rubbish for Victor and the Bully in regards to just for gigs and that. We were just turned, and also like the weather, but like we were turning up to like festivals that, you know, we got to play Fantasy Forest. They wanted us to headline one of the stages, and it pissed it down. I mean, it was like a hurricane. Ooh. And so, and like, we traveled like 4 hours to get there, so excited, and it was just constantly like things like that where, and like, we played at the MCM Comic-Con as well.
All right. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Which one?
Excel in London?
The Excel in London. And you're like, can't wait, this is going to be mad. So they had that big, they set up that big stage outside on the Friday, and we're like, this is going to be amazing. We had a good time. We're like, when it once, like, it was closing down, everyone was out and just outside. Glorious sunny day. We turned up on the Friday, and they were like, no, sorry, we got to to pull the stage down because of noise complaints. And we're like, and so they were like, we're going to move the stage inside, but you can't play Friday. You're going to have to play Saturday. And we're like, okay. So then Saturday, they put this that stage in literally a random corner in one of the units.
Yeah.
No one, despite, so we probably would have played to a few thousand people. We literally played to about 30 in the XL.
And there's like 65,000 people, maybe. Yeah.
And I'm like, how the hell can we play to 30 people? And it was like, and we just kept getting. So far, 2024, touch wood, has probably been one of the best best moments of my life so far. So.
Brilliant. Yeah, good. Glad, man. Sounds good.
No, like I said, like you played an absolute storming set. I mean, the set before was kind of like a bit more mellower because they kind of combined the two rooms together.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a much greater.
You're worried.
Yeah. All right. And so, yeah, it was kind of like the crowd had kind of calmed down a bit.
Almost. Yeah.
And then you came and was like, okay, this is a shot of adrenaline.
Well, we saw people leaving and we were like, and it was going to be one of those situations where, like, everyone's there, everyone's packed, you know, everyone's there for Professor Elemental, blah, blah, blah. And then and we're like, cool, this is going to be great. And then everyone left. And we're like,
that's so depressing.
This is just our luck. Like, and it was almost like, this is just us. This is just our luck. And then, but we had been going around to everyone during that because, and being like, we're on at 11, we're on at 11, we're on at 11. 11.
Yeah.
We were giving up flight. We were just trying our best to be like, make sure everyone knows we're there. And it's going back to that conversation. Get your name out, put a banner up, put flyers out, do it old school, you know? It's
well,
so important.
Yeah, I mean, like my photographer Petey and his girlfriend B has kind of seen some of your videos online. And said, "Oh, I really want to see these guys," and that kind of like galvanized. Mm. Get pushed. Oh, you guys, these are really good. And Madam Misfit was kind of like mentioning you guys. Like, yeah, these guys, they're okay.
Yeah, we love each other, really. We just have a bit of an ongoing joke that we don't like each other.
Would you ever play together? Would you ever do anything together?
Oh, we've done. We've released songs together.
Oh, have you? Okay, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's on our Spotify and all that sort of stuff. We've done countless gigs together. And like, she's come up on stage and like joined us for sets, and same with Professor Elemental. You know, we're all good friends. Oh, we're all.
Madam Misfit has the moniker of being, she's always our first podcast of the year. It's been that for like two years in a row. She's always the first one on the podcast.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, she's one of we're playing in America later this year, so she's having her first trip out there.
Oh yeah, she mentioned that.
With us. So yeah, she's coming along with me and Joe, my guitarist. So despite us there being four of us in Victor and the Bully, sometimes the dynamics are not there to have four of us. So
what do you mean? Sorry.
So because it's three guitarists, as much as we'd love to have four of us on stage, sometimes we can't do it due to travel costs, the PA system. That means we've got to get two hotel rooms, that type of thing.
Decides who goes?
Well, it's normally Joe. He's been at the longest. He's always first pick of who's going. But you know, I always try and push for everyone. But then again, like this weekend, Joe can't come, and it's Ash and Nancy to like Netherlands. And Joe's not jealous at all, no. But it's you know, there's never a reason because that somebody can't go. It will always be, you know, like me and Joe are going to Isle of Wight for a gig.
All right, yeah.
You know, but then the following week it may just be me and Ash. So it's just
that's cool.
But we'd always try and push for four of us because four of us on stage is a show. It's chaos.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Because it was just you and Joe.
Ash. I mean, Ash.
Ash, sorry, Ash.
Yeah, yeah. So Ash is our newest member. So Ash has always been like a fifth Beatle, where we'd basically write the tracks, we'd give it to Ash, and he's fantastic at producing music. And we basically give him something that's a 2 out of 10, and he'll make it into a solid 6 out of 10. Nice. And we were like, we're like, mate, you're an incredible guitarist. And we were like, why don't you just come join us? And he was like, yeah, I mean, I know all the songs anyway, you know. And then there were some songs where like Joe couldn't do, and we needed like a lead guitarist. And I was like, Ash, just join Victor and the Bully. And then like, but that's why we did a photo shoot like this weekend just gone, because we were promoting, but none of our pictures had Ash in it.
All right, wow. Okay.
But you know, that's what it's, you know, he's not annoyed about it or anything. It's just like, well, that's what it is. You know, I'm very lucky to be, like I said, to be working with my best mates. And, you know, I think the only ego amongst us is me. Yeah. So.
I do miss it. I miss sort of, you know, when I watch other bands play and stuff, and I'm just like, just, you know, as much as it is, it's hard work and it's stressful at times. And writing songs as well and getting things right, it can be really stressful, especially if you just can't get something right. But you know, that being there, doing the thing, having a good show, even if it's not to a lot of people, it's one of the best feelings you can have. Like, it's so, it just, you know, I really miss it. And even I miss the whole sort of like, you know, the like playing even those shitty gigs where you kind of just want to be in the middle. You don't want the headline because you don't want everybody.
I never want headline.
Yeah, if you're in the middle,
stop, man. Why don't you want the headline?
Less people.
Because. Because, number one, you're on last.
Yes.
And by the time it gets to the headline, don't get me wrong, if it's an actual proper show and a gig in a then cool, headline. But if it's just a regular gig or that you're last on, most time people are like, I'm kind of done with music now. And the moment you finish playing, the night's over, you have to pack up and leave.
Yep.
If you're on before the headliner, you have a good show, people are still like full of energy, and then once you finish, you can go and have a beer and chill out and wind down, and then when the gig's finished, then you can pack all your stuff away and you're in good spirits.
Yep, exactly that.
So
exactly
that. I'd always choose not headliner, just before the headliner.
The thing is, if you're playing a gig where people have spent money to come and see, that's fine because they're paying to see that band. But if you're just playing a gig where people turn up, middle is the best place to be. If it's too early, then people haven't turned up because it's too early. If you're last on, people are smashed and leaving, and again, you don't get sort of, you know, the enjoy yourself as much. Being in the middle, it was the prime place to be in a local gig or a gig sort of like which people are just rocking up to.
Yeah. But we once had got to play a gig at 2 a.m.
Oh wow!
But it was packed, and we got to play at Club Antichrist.
Oh wow! Nice.
So yeah, if you don't know what Club Antichrist is, it's like a fetish night type club. It's like Torture Garden.
Like Torture Garden.
And I'd never been to an event like that ever in my life, and it never really appealed to me to go, to be honest. And I thought, so we got after, and I'm like, yeah, cool, like this would be fun. And what was nice is that we had a green room, so if we wanted to just escape for a bit, we could just chill out in the green room. And I was like, and it was. Absolute eye-opener, absolutely incredible. And like, we all took our other halves as well, and so we had an absolutely amazing night. But then, so we did this set, bear in mind, with our music, and then we're playing to people that normally listen to extremely heavy metal or like techno, and we're going babushka and trying to get everyone. We went down really well, and then we did quite possibly the weirdest hokey cokey you've ever seen in your life. I mean, people in gimp masks and like people on leads and all this sort of stuff, doing the hokey cokey is something that has been burnt into my head to the day I die.
I find that, like, if you're into heavy music, you're happy enough to listen to softer stuff because, you know, whereas I find the other way around, if you're into sort of lighter music, you're very unlikely to want to listen to heavy music and stuff. It's like, yeah. I've been like, you know, I went to a million metal bars as a teenager growing up and stuff. And, you know, heavy music, there was always that sort of like, you get sort of like, you know, NSYNC, or you get sort of like K-pop, or you get something sort of, you get weird stuff in the middle and people who are just happy enough to dance to it and stuff. But you wouldn't get that in a, you know, people who are into sort of pop music. You wouldn't suddenly get sort of, you know, Slayer coming on in the back. Yeah, Slayer! sort of enjoying it.
Yeah. So
how did you get invited to Club Antichrist? Because that is a very niche, shall we say, nightclub, like event.
I think I just sent him an email. Oh, I know, because Professor Elemental, Professor Elemental MCs as well.
Oh, right.
And I was just like, hey, we're friends with Prof. Can I come? Can I come to your party? Yeah. And they were like, cool. Yeah. But what we got paid for that night was spent on the cab fare there and back.
Because London, because
London. And I was like, we've got the other halves with us, like they want to dress up and all that sort of stuff, so we're like, I'm just gonna order a nice cab there and back. Like I said, we're very lucky in Victor and the Bully, where, you know, we get to bring our other halves and we have just such a good time, and I always choose comfort, you know. I'm not that I'm old, I'm 37. But I just like a nice, I like to get home. I like to get comfortable. Rock and roll.
See,
un-rock and roll.
And this is why I do not do festivals and camping.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a really good tent, and I've got like an expensive air mattress. And if I don't get sleep, I'm grumpy. So. Yeah.
Because I always had to, because at every gig, I don't think there was ever a gig where I drank, because I always had to drive and I always had to move along the equipment. The singers would rock up about an hour late, having all the equipment having been loaded in and out, and then go, oh, is there anything we can help with? No. And they bring in their microphones and then piss off early. And then so I'd have to drive everybody home, then bring all the equipment home. So I never got all that sort of drinking.
Yeah, that side of it is rough. Yeah, but you do so much work and then you're only on stage for sometimes 25 minutes set.
Yeah.
But you've done hours of work for that 25 minutes to play to no one.
Yeah, exactly. One of the other sort of... all dayers, man, like all dayers were like, they were really like hit and miss, man. Like you either had a really good one or a shit. Like I remember doing an all dayer, and the band, he were one of these young bands, and they asked if they could borrow some of our equipment, and we were always a bit weird about, you know, like, you know, the mess, but because we have pretty expensive amps and things, so we let them because they were young and stuff. One of them blew up my other guitar amp and stuff, having been warned about it, but we powered through it, and then they fucked off before we went on stage. It's like, we let them all this equipment and they left, and I was just like, you cheeky fucks.
The only a really good all dayer, and I need to put their name out, is an event called Hero Fest in Gravesend. And if you see it come up, yeah, I highly recommend it, and they raise money for Help for Heroes.
All right, cool.
And it's been going for years and years, and it's at a place called the Red Lion in Gravesend, and I think the Red Lion has been there since the dinosaurs.
Oh wow! Okay, right.
It's an old music video. Yeah, it's
nice. Also, I mean, that's a very impressive microphone you've got there. And you mentioned it and during setup that you did a podcast during COVID lockdowns.
Yeah.
So, what's the story there?
We were very lucky to... We were thinking, like, how can we sort of keep our fan base interested in us during COVID? Because we were like, you know, like I said, you need to constantly keep your name going and flowing. Otherwise, people kind of forget about you. And so we decided to set up a podcast called Sin and Gin, We did an episode every week, and it was chaos. But we used to get, I think we used to get about 300 listeners an episode, and we did some live ones as well. And we played games, we told facts. I mean, it was very like segmented, but we had a bit of a little cult following with it, where people were making T-shirts for it. But then the episode name. So you know, Mad Libs.
Yes.
So we used to do a Mad Libs, and honestly, every time we were crying with laughter, like crying at these what these stories would come out. And we've got titles such as Captain Hook's Regular Hand, Tinfoil Testicles, Cilla Black's Unmarked Grave.
Wow.
the Balamori Gulag. But what's nice is that these Sin and Gin episode names are the table names for my wedding.
That's amazing, man. Really good.
So we've got our table name is, one of our table names is Cilla Black's Unmarked Grave.
Wow.
Yeah, my nan's sitting at a table called Barry Manilow's Bathwater. So she's going to be very confused.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was just trying to, it's going back to that thing of make sure the audience is complete, always interested, always, yeah. You have to pester them and almost be like, hey, we're here, we're doing stuff, hey. But obviously not too much, but like...
But that's a balancing act. You want to kind of get your name out there, but not to the point of being intrusive.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And also, you know, we're quite funny with how we promote and how we do stuff. And at the moment, we're trying to do TikTok videos because that's where things are now.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it is. And you just have to grit your teeth and do videos. Because that's where you get, like, you know, and we do a TikTok video and we got thousands of views. And then we do it on Instagram and the algorithm, or Facebook, and the algorithm is toilet. And it's like, especially when you like create a music video, like you put not just a TikTok video, like you could do a TikTok video that's like 20 seconds and you'll get like thousands of views. But then you do like a music video that you've spent money, hours of work, plus the song, plus blah 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 blah, and then Facebook will go, 25 people have seen this, and you're like,
yeah, man, it is like my dog's TikTok famous. He's got like 145,000 followers or 146,000 followers, yeah. And it was to be my TikTok, and nobody was interested in me doing Ron Burgundy sort of skits and sort of random things, like putting a lot of effort and time into it. I literally put my dog on there sleeping or saying something like, yeah, oh, he tries to escape here. 250,000 views. And I was just like, what the hell? And then there's one of him just coming in out of the snow, literally coming in the door out of the snow, 14 million views. And it was just like, what? I spent literally days working out one thing and it got like 300 views. And then the dog comes in the snow, 14 million views. And I was like,
I mean, that's it. It's going back to that conversation about like AI and stuff. And I'm like, I'm more concerned about algorithms than AI.
Oh, algorithms.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, like it is, the algorithms are excruciating. And so we even tried to set up our own little social media thing. Cause so we have a page on Facebook called the Victim, the Bully, Sinners Society.
Yeah.
And it's a great community. It's great. And I tried to like make our own little social media just for the Sinners Society. And it had like traction for a few months. And then everyone just goes back to Facebook. And I was like, and then it's, you know, cause you've got all these adverts on Facebook and that. And I was like, come over here. We've got no adverts, but then people just forget to open up the app.
Yeah, it is really hard. Like, you know, I've been struggling with it for Geek Pride for years, to the point where I just don't care as much as I used to anymore and stuff when it comes to it and stuff. If people watch it or they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But it's hard to keep on top of all the different social media platforms and which ones need, you know, you need to sort of do which with. Yeah. And do you focus on one of them, or do you try and sort of spread yourself across all of them? And
well, I mean, I think you spread yourself across all of them, but I mean, like, reels are a huge thing on Instagram. Mm, people love sending each other reels. So, you know, I think, you know, just get little, like, 20-second clips of, like, an interview or something like that. But then just take that same video and put it on TikTok. And, you know, and it's not much work to do the same copy and paste. Even, like, YouTube Shorts is a big thing now.
Yeah, well, it's a thing with kids, and this is the other thing. Like, I find this, like, obviously, 6-year-old daughter, and you know, all kids when they watch stuff, they just want short things that they can flick. And she just sits there and flicks, and she'll sit there and watch something over and over and over again, and then flick, and then do the same thing. And it's just like, and you can tell there's a lot of people starting to play up to this, so they will literally just
doom scrolling.
Yeah, exactly. But they use that to sort of market their thing, and they
And also the algorithms are different to each platform. What works on one platform won't work on the other, and kind of, so to maximize the content, you kind of got tweaked the content or the meta tags and the hashtags and all that, just to kind of maximize it all. And it just gets a headache.
And it's so hard to just get someone to actually click like or subscribe or follow. It's so hard to just get someone to go, boop. Like, I always say, like, I have a saying on stage, which is, you know, please give us a like, follow. I said, the more likes we get, the more interest we get, the more interest we get, the more gigs we get, the more gigs we get, the more beer we drink. You know, and to try and be like, please check us out. You know,
I
think that kind of the more beer you drink, adding that at the end, kind of adds a bit of levity to it, adds a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But you just kind of, rather than saying like and subscribe, it just feels a bit bland. But then like, subscribe, we get beer.
There's a lot of pages that I follow and stuff, and I just watch the videos and I don't think about liking it. It's just like, oh, that was a good video. And I don't sort of do the extra mile thing of liking the video and stuff. You probably should.
I'm going to like this one now.
Like, and comment especially. Comment a lot. Yeah. Like as well, but I think, like, based on the weighting of the algorithms, like, the liking, fine. But if you comment on it, that adds a bit more power to it.
It's all view time now, isn't it? Now it's all about view time now.
Well, and like, huge thing now is, have you heard of rage bait?
No.
So you know, clickbait.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, hey, check out these top 10 weird fish. And everyone's like, oh. The other thing is called rage bait. So people will post things, like, for example, a really bad recipe. You'll just see them like, hey, I'm going to make a recipe. And they'll just make this monstrosity as if it was like real. And you get people just commenting, going, what the hell is this? Blah, 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 blah.
Because of that engagement.
And they're getting engagement because of people's rage.
Oh.
But then, sorry, the other thing is, which is really interesting, is worth a read, called The Dead Internet Theory. And so I don't know if you've seen on, like, Facebook, there's loads of these really weird AI pictures of, like, Jesus with, like, amongst, like planes and like air hostesses and like mud, and they're like just real warped like thing, and you go and it doesn't look real at all. It looks like a terrible AI picture, but all the comments are just going amen, 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 amen. And it's becoming effectively a bot posting the AI and then bots commenting on the AI.
All right, okay.
And it's just, and it's no like human interaction.
Yeah.
And it's this, it's called the dead internet theory. And it's and the idea is that eventually there'll be so many bots that it's there's no humans.
All right. Wow, okay.
It's worth a read.
Oh yeah, man, that sounds really interesting. But like the whole thing about sort of like that makes sense. So in the TikToks I do about my dog, I embrace people raging at me about, you know, how I'm training my dog wrong or how I'm a bad dog owner or whatever you get and stuff, because every time they comment and I reply, they're watching the video plays in the background where they'll comment and stuff. So I'm just like, and I always say to them when they're getting annoyed at me, I say, mate, you can argue with me all you want, because every time you comment, you're watching my video a couple more times and that adds to the thing. So I'm just like, I'm happy to argue with them.
But the biggest thing is, like, if for a band, you could have like thousands of views, but they're not fans.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you make those viewers fans?
Yeah,
how do you make those viewers go to your website, buy your CD, turn up to your gig, listen to your music? They may check it out on a while they're doom scrolling, but how do you make them engage and be
converting it?
Yeah, converting them to your cult.
Well, I think that is I think that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, if you're just there to milk as much money out of it as possible, and you don't want, you know, you're happy to sort of just sort of antagonize people to get views and therefore get, you know, money off the back of it, then fine, you can do that. But if you want them to actually physically enjoy what you're giving them, if you want that sort of higher level to it, then, you know, you have to think about things a different way.
Yeah. But then, you know, for me, you know, the only thing I'm really caring about is that the Victor and the Bully has given me the opportunities through playing gigs over the years and blah, 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 to, you know, this weekend I'm playing in Netherlands with my best mates. And moments like that, when I'm on stage and I'm looking around, I'm going, holy crap, I don't care about the algorithms. I don't care about who's got more views than me, more plays than me. All I do is look across and see my guitarists and my friends and my other half. And we are just in this bubble, this Victor and the Bully bubble. And I just want sod the algorithm, sod the... Do you know what I mean?
And that's the right way to go, because, I mean, algorithms only go so far. I think there's a lot to be said about being in person at events. I mean, 12... years ago today, I went to Alt Fiction in Derby for the talk on the business of writing. And that hour-long workshop is what basically kickstarted my writing career to what now I'm a full-time writer. 2 years after that, I was like being commissioned for the BBC.
Yeah.
And like literally a year ago today, I had my first peer-reviewed chapter with Rosie Garland. For Deviant Leisure published. And so like that, it's, but I wouldn't have got that through, like, you know, on an online event, social media. It's being in person and getting engaged.
And it's all about that snowball effect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, agreed. Yep.
You know, like we had our first steampunk event in 2015. And then we're like, oh, well, we've done that one now. Let's find another one. Oh, the, you know, next minute we've been asked to play a steampunk event in America, and we're like, oh my god, you know. And it's just when, and it really is that snowball effect of, you know. And but then Matt, you've probably had like where you turn up to one gig and you're playing to six people, but one of those people in the thing goes, oh, I actually do like a festival, or I've got this gig, do you fancy coming along and playing that? Like, okay. And then you go to that and there's like loads of people, you're like, I wouldn't have got that gig if I wasn't at this crappy one.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to take the good with the bad, and anything can happen, man. It's just sort of, you know, it's one of those things. You got to roll the dice, but you got to go for it. And that the deal with it is, like you said, you just got to, if you enjoy the music, you enjoy the people you're with, they're your friends, then it doesn't really matter. You know, it's that you're having a good time. It's something you enjoy.
Yeah.
Everything else is just gravy, effectively.
But I love the saying, comparison is the thief of joy.
Ah, very good.
Very deep. Very deep.
And it's true. If you compare yourself to others, you're never going to be happy.
Agreed. Right. Okay. So knowing that you have to leave shortly, I need to, I need to ask you about the proton pack in the background, because
that's what it is.
I've been eyeing it up for ages, obviously. I was going to ask about your nerd credentials, but there's a proton pack there.
Yeah, hold on. I'll show it to you after the call. But I am a huge Ghostbusters fan. Like,
Have you seen the newest one?
Twice.
Okay, any good? I've not seen it yet.
It's brilliant. It feels like more like an episode of real Ghostbusters.
Ah, right. Okay, cool. Right.
My collection is in the loft at the moment because I'm currently looking to buy a house later this year. Sort of stuff, so it's just out of the way. But it got to the point where my collection was just becoming a pile.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. And so, my wife, she's like, I don't care what you buy. Just give it a purpose. Don't just put it in a pile. And I'm like, yeah, that's a fair point. So I've got a big setup to. I want to get like cabinets and lights and all that. But yeah, Ghostbusters is my kryptonite.
I feel it, man.
I haven't cosplayed or anything like that of it. I just like collecting it. But it's either that, Ninja Turtles, Gremlins, Back to the Future.
Some good films.
And recently it's been One Piece.
Did you watch the live action? Did you watch the live action?
Yeah.
I actually quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. Have you read The Last Running?
No. I'll be honest, I don't really read. I'm not a very good reader because my attention span just...
Talking about Turtles, did you hear that they're thinking about doing an R-rated, is it Last Ronin?
Film.
I heard they're doing a video game with, apparently it's going to be in the style, a bit like God of War.
Let's see, the Turtles.
Apparently they're doing like that.
Turtles movie explained, Teenage Mutant Turtles going to the direction, there's going to R-rated movie develop, Yeah, it looks like it's a film. Last Ronin, R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja.
But yeah, I'm a big gamer as well. I'm playing video games like every night.
What's your go-to game at the minute?
So, I always feel embarrassed when I say this, but I love it and I play with my mates, and it's Fortnite.
All right, okay.
It just works. Yeah. It's a good game.
I suck at it. I play it now and again, but I suck at it.
I know. I do zero builds. All you got to do is shoot. Yeah. You know, it's either that or I've been playing Tekken recently.
Okay. Yeah.
I will kick anyone's ass at
Tekken. Yeah, I used to play it a lot when I was in university, but yeah, I don't think I could beat anybody. I'm not very good. I kind of like RTSs and strategy games. My brother.
Go on, man.
Actually, my brother currently beating me at Supreme Commander, which is like an RTS from like 2010 or something stupid like that. But it's fighting games and shooting games. As much as I like them, I'm not very good at them.
Well, I did finish Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
165 hours.
Yikes.
And I was a tiefling bard.
Nice.
That pretty much looked like my stage outfit.
I did Diablo 4, but then I got to the point where I completed the storyline, and then when it came to the seasons, I was just like, I don't know if I want to start another character again from the scratch and just do things over again. The whole idea, because I'm a World of Warcraft recovering addict from, I haven't played in about 15 years or something, but I was so into that game that anything that puts me in that position again where I'm grinding and playing over and over and doing things over and over again, it turns me off. I can't go near that anymore.
Baldur's Gate 3 isn't grinding at all.
Is it not? I played the beta.
It's D&D, the video game.
Yeah. Well, I played the beta when it first came out, but it was a bit glitchy, so I never really got sort of fully into it. And then like people have been saying it, but then there's the whole thing that there is, like, you know, if you've played 170 odd hours, that's a lot of time to sort of kind of embrace. And I already play D&D on a regular basis, so I'm like, where am I gonna get the time?
I would highly recommend it. But I also bought that Divinity of Sin 2,
it's good, but I
bought it on the Nintendo Switch. I couldn't believe it was on the Nintendo Switch, and I was like, well, it's basically going to be like Baldur's Gate. But I got it because we got a few gigs, like traveling to America, it's like 9-hour flight. That's at least a few hour flight, you know. Gaming is a huge thing. I was also obsessed with Gears of War.
Oh yeah, man, I used to love Gears of War. I got that being said, I got sort of up to 4, I think, and then I lost a bit of interest. I think it sort of, I don't know what it was about it. It just sort of, I can't remember. Was it three, four? When was the one? I'm trying to think which one I got up to.
Four was the one where it wasn't Marcus anymore.
Oh yeah, it was three. So I did it up to three, and then sort of like yeah. I think I as soon as they kind of it wasn't Marcus anymore, I sort of lost a bit of interest in it because I was sort of you know I grew up with Marcus and he wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, no, I still keep going back to Fortnite because everyone's got it.
It's
free, and why not? I used to play Call of Duty, and it's just so sweaty, and I'm like, I just want to relax.
Oh yeah, man, big time. like, you just get like, I want to enjoy playing a game. I don't want to get just you know, absolutely sniped all the time.
I love VR as well, though.
Oh mate,
my friends. I've got the Oculus 3 and I've got the VR PlayStation VR 2 as well.
Oh, right. Wow, yeah. What's the Facebook one that came out?
The Meta Quest 3.
So my friend's got Meta Quest 3. Like, and I've always been a bit cuz I wear glasses and stuff and it always makes me feel slightly nauseous when I'm playing VR games.
Yeah.
But he showed me his Meta Quest 3 or is it 2 or is it 3? And it was just one where basically the fact that it's sort of augmented reality, so you can see what's around you and stuff.
Yeah,
it made me feel less nauseous, and I was just amazing, man, because like it mapped out the whole room, and then I'm shooting aliens through the walls and stuff, and I was like, this is absolutely mad.
Because I've got two headsets, I've got Walkabout Mini Golf.
All right.
And me and my other half will have a date night where she's basically in the living room. I'm in my little study. We've both got our heads on because it's cross play.
And we'll
just have a night playing mini golf.
Oh, that's quality, man. That's a really good idea. There's a good game, actually. It's on Steam. I can't remember what it's called, but I played it with my mate in his VR thing. But you basically, one of you's on the computer and the other one's on the VR. And one of you's is this massive head that's trying to sort of grab a knight. And the knight's trying to kill the head. And you're basically firing off against it, and it's so much fun, man. Like one guy in VR.
Try and find that.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's so good because it's literally if you're in the VR, you can use your hands, and obviously you're trying to throw things at this knight, and the knight's literally firing rockets at you and trying to hit you and stuff while you're you know trying to find him and stuff.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Really good fun.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's 1:30 now. Obviously, you have to go, so we'll not subject you to our nerdy pop quiz at the end. But if you've got any pages, things you want to pimp out, people need to check out.
So we've got victorandthebully.com, which is our website. We're on all the usual social medias, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. But we've also got our YouTube channel, which has got our latest music videos. We also do vlogs. So if you want to see our vlog of the Sci-Fi Weekend, that's on there as well. We've got some upcoming singles coming out, new music videos. So keep an eye out for that. And hopefully any listeners, we can see them doing the Hokey Cokey with us on a future gig. And we've got all our future gigs on our social media and that so as well. So
amazing. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Really, really insightful stuff. I'm definitely going to check out the dead internet thing you were talking about. That'll be best of luck, man. I really hope good luck in America. Good luck with your wedding, the honeymoon in Vegas if you survive, everything. And by all means, if you've got anything new coming on, please do come back.
Yeah, no, wonderful. And I'll show you the proton pack after the
brilliant.
Right. Well, for tonight, I've been Matt Geary carry on.
Thank you.
Just say goodbye. So for tonight, I've been Matt Geary. With me has been Peter A. Allison.
Good night, everyone.
And our special guest, Victor Gasly.
Good night.
Night, everybody.
Bye.